as I reflect on my experience at CHIC, my mind keeps going back to a very simple message that we heard a few different ways, a few different times throughout the week. And it was so basic, and yet it struck me as exactly what I needed to hear and what so many of us need to hear as a truth to build our lives on. It was a message about our identity, about who we are. And that message is that we are children of God and we are loved. These were very simple truths, and yet so hard for us to believe a lot of the time. Why is that? Why is it so difficult for us to know in our bones that we are completely loved and held by God, that there is nothing that can separate us from that love? I want to read our passage from Luke 15, and then I'll just share a few brief reflections. So Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So these two parables are classic examples of the way that God shows his radical care and love for his people. Jesus tells these stories in response to the Pharisees, these religious authorities, these very important people who are questioning the way that Jesus is living his life, the way he's doing ministry, the people that he is associating with. And they're operating under certain assumptions about who is worthy and who is not, who deserves Jesus's attention and who does not. And this is the way that most of our societies teach us to think, right? We operate on this merit-based system. And we learn very quickly what it takes to earn our place within that system. And so with God, we often assume that the rules are the same, that we need to be good enough, smart enough, perfect enough, worthy enough, important enough, fill in the blank with whatever your issue is, because we all have one. Some of us have many, myself included. But we've bought into this story of success, that our job is to earn, to strive, to work, to be worthy of the love that we receive. But the beauty of what Jesus is saying through these parables is that we can be part of a different story. It's totally counterintuitive that a shepherd would choose to leave 99 sheep who are doing what they're supposed to be doing, they are where they're supposed to be, to chase after the one who is lost. But through this, Jesus is declaring that we are enough simply by being part of God's family. We are enough just because we are God's children, just because we're part of the flock. And because we are God's, we will be chased after, we will be relentlessly pursued when we find ourselves lost, when we wander away from the fold. And it's not because of anything we do to earn our place with God, but simply because we are his. And there were a few powerful images that were used during our week at CHIC to illustrate this simple truth, and Jenna touched on a few of them already. Megan Marshman, which she mentioned, the speaker on our second night, she had a ladder up on stage while she was speaking. And she used the ladder to talk about how we strive so hard after love and acceptance in our lives. We're constantly trying to climb the ladder, constantly looking for ways to prove ourselves worthy. And so she made the powerful statement that our God is a God who tells us to get off the ladder entirely. And instead, God chooses to climb down the ladder toward us. This is the incarnation when Jesus puts on flesh so that we can stop the exhausting and impossible task of trying to prove ourselves worthy, prove ourselves good enough, and instead simply receive the gift of God's love. And the second image she used was a cup. saying that we spend so much of our energy running around looking for other people to fill our cup for us with their attention and affirmation and approval, when all we really need to do is to turn our cups toward God and let God's free and abundant and overflowing love fill our cup in a way that is sustainable and abundant. Easier said than done, of course. It's hard work to change the merit-based, success-driven narrative that we've been told in so many ways that has been ingrained in us throughout our lives. But it may start with reminding ourselves again and again of these simple truths. One of the other speakers during the week encouraged us to begin each morning by looking in the mirror and saying to ourselves, "I am loved, I am a child of God, and He is pleased with me." And I think we may need daily practices like this to help us stay so grounded in God's love because of the many other voices that are telling us a different story. And it's true, is it not, that so much of our woundedness as human beings, so much of the damage that we inflict on other people, stems from believing that we are not worthy of love, that we need to prove something, that we're not free to love and be loved. And yet, this is what we are made for. This is God's basic desire for us, to know that we are loved and to have the freedom to respond to it, to live out of that identity. And when we know that we are loved and that we are worthy of it, we can't help but extend that love to the people around us. We can't help but see and remind others of their great worth. So what will it take for you to take the next step toward truly knowing and believing that you are loved? Do you need to simply spend time in God's presence? Do you need to tell God honestly about the fears or the hurt or the anger or the doubt that you've been carrying? Do you need to respond in some way to a word or a call that God has been offering to you? These are all ways that God communicates and shows love to us as His children. And it's so hopeful to imagine what the world would be like if every person truly believed that they are loved. If every person were grounded in their belovedness, think about how much more whole and healed the world would be. Our closing song that we will sing together this morning is called Reckless Love. It's a song about the relentless, extravagant way that God loves us. And sometimes we use reckless in the sense of haphazard or irresponsible, but this song is talking about the type of love that is without hesitation or limit and stretches beyond the normal measures of our lives. It's a love that leaves the 99 to search for the one. So let's stand and sing this closing song together and be sent out with the assurance that we are children of God and we are loved.